I'm Dennis Prager, and I'm preoccupied with the massacre in Florida yesterday. And I'd like to ask some questions of a man I respect on these matters, John Lott, the noted gun crime expert, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. John Lott, welcome back to the Dennis Prager Show. It's a very bad sign, I realize, when I have you on the show.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to have you associate with me something more positive than having to talk about these things.
But yeah.
I appreciate you having me on.
Well, no, I thank you. But I may just call you once when nothing bad has happened, just to check in.
Okay, well, right. I always enjoy talking to you. I mean, okay. As you know, I've been listening to you since you did Religion on the Line just Saturdays before you even went to Sundays.
Right. That was Sunday. Then I went to Saturday night. Yes. Yes.
Which I was. One day.
Where do you live? Where do you live now?
I live near Philadelphia.
Okay. Wonderful. Now I'm on a great station there, WNTP. All right. So let me ask you. I'm going to pose questions to the best of my ability, taking the side of the gun control advocates. So here is an argument that is repeatedly made. That they're not out to ban all guns. It's unrealistic. Too many Americans have them, want them, believe in the Second Amendment. But why can't we ban, and they'll use the word assault weapon, which is demagogic. I know that because it's an aesthetic claim, nothing else, because we already have banned automatic weapons, which are known aka machine guns generally. But let us say handguns are okay and rifles are okay, but why do we need people to be able to have the AR-15? That's the argument that they would oppose. Fewer people will die if it's just handguns.
Right. Well, what you have to realize is that the AR-15 is basically, people are focusing on what it looks like on the outside. Cosmetically, it looks like a military weapon. But on the inside, it has the same guts, the same mechanisms as you would find in a semi-automatic hunting rifle. In fact, it would be a relatively small game version of the hunting rifle. And look, if they want to go and ban all semi-automatic guns, then we can talk about it. At least it's something logical that they could get into. But to go and ban certain semi-automatic guns based upon how they look on the outside just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And so if you want to ban all semi-automatic guns, and I don't think they want to broach that subject right now, they're going to run into a lot of opposition. And the reason is there's three different types of guns. You know, you've mentioned the machine guns, but the other two types are basically manually loaded guns where you physically, after you fire a bullet, have to physically yourself load another bullet into the chamber. And then you have semi-automatics, which one pull of the trigger, one bullet comes out, and then it reloads itself, one pull of the trigger, one bullet comes out. Civilians benefit for using semi-automatic guns for self-defense. If you have two criminals, or you fire a warning shot, or you miss your first shot where somebody may be attacking you or a loved one, you may not have the luxury of time to manually reload your gun. If that's what they want to try to get into in terms of the cost and benefits, fine, I'm happy to do it. But it just doesn't make sense to ban a gun because it looks like an M16, even though it's not an M16. It's like a hunting rifle that's made to look like it. Why people like guns that look like other types of guns, you know, that's a question of taste. I can't answer.
Okay, fair enough. So in other words, they, in order to propose anything, it can't be proposed on aesthetics. So they would have to say, let's ban semi-automatic weapons, to which your response is, okay, fine, let's have that debate, but they'll lose it because the vast majority of Americans, or the great majority of Americans, want to be able to protect themselves with a semi-automatic weapon. Have I repeated you correctly?
Yes, you have.
Okay, all right, so hold on there. Okay, we're gonna continue with John Lott. This is really, really important, and I want to ask him about my proposal, which is to have armed teachers and other adults at schools. All right. Reflecting on yesterday's terrible events in Florida, And I want to welcome back John Lott, the gun expert, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. I am posing a whole series of questions to John Lott that I think would be presented by people who want more gun control in the United States. So, John, the first thing we decided, or you have made clear, is there would be some consistency, not if there were bans on the way weapons look, that's irrelevant, but on the way they shoot. So if people want to argue, let's then ban all semi-automatic weapons, that at least would be an argument that would be consistent. So what is the answer to the to that desire? That it wouldn't work, it wouldn't pass, it would only leave semi-automatic weapons in the hands of criminals. What is your answer?
Right, well, I think it's combinations of things. Most guns that Americans own are semi-automatic guns. And I think they own them for a reason, and that is because they make it easier for them to go and defend themselves. Most Americans these days own guns for self-defense. And you may not have the luxury of time to manually reload your gun if that's the type of gun they want to go and allow. You know, it may be okay if you want to go and hunt an animal to require that people have to go and manually reload their guns between shots. But, you know, if somebody's in your home or you have multiple people in your home, that may be time you can't spare.
Do you have data off the top of your head with regard to how often a warranted use of a weapon in self-defense is used in America?
Well, we only have guesses on something like that. People do surveys. We do use surveys for lots of things. For example, you often hear that only a fraction of rapes are reported to police. Well, how do we know that? Well, we know the rapes that are reported to police, and then the government goes out and does a survey to try to find out, or at least get a rough guess, how many times rapes occur. And we have similar issues with regard to things like gun crimes and what have you. We know the gun crimes are reported to police, but we want to have some idea of how frequently they're actually used and what rate people report them. So, for example, something like larceny, you know, just a theft of something, only about 7% of those appear to be reported to police. You know, murders, we think we pretty much know what happens when somebody gets murdered, but the other crimes, you know, you're going to have something well less than half of robberies are going to be reported. Half, you know, maybe 40% of rapes are going to be reported. And so we do the same thing for guns to try to figure out.
A small percentage of the use of guns in self-defense is reported? Is that what you're saying?
Right.
But if they're used, it's got to be reported because the person shot has probably either died or been taken to a hospital.
Right. Well, the thing is, the survey evidence that we have indicates that about 95% or so of the time that people use guns defensively, they don't fire the gun. Simply brandishing a gun is enough to cause a criminal to break off an attack. And then you have what may be warning shots. And the rate that people are killed is actually fairly small. I mean, you're talking about, you know, thousands of a percentage point or so for all the defensive gun uses that are out there. And so, and woundings are about 8 times more frequently than the rates that people are killed. So it's the vast majority of defensive gun uses, you know, I understand the point that you're raising, but don't fit into that category where it would be necessary to go and report. Now, many people may still report it, obviously, but not everybody. But we have to figure out how many don't report it.
Right, which is not knowable, obviously, is what you're saying. All right. So
you have to do a survey, and there are issues
right.
with doing surveys.
Okay, so let us imagine that John Lott is Emperor of the United States at the founding of the United States, or somewhere early in our history, and your say-so determines what happens. would you envision an America which has so many powerful weapons legally in the hands of so many Americans? In other words, is this, to use, I think it was Pascal's famous statement, is this the best of all worlds, even with all of its tragedy?
Yeah, I think
it was Leibniz, not Pascal.
There's probably a few things I might change, but I think generally, well, look, police are extremely important. Anybody who's read any of my books know that I think police are the single most important factor for protecting people. But I think the police themselves know, and they're probably the strongest supporters of any group of private gun ownership in the country, know that they can't be there all the time, that they virtually always arrive on the crime scene after the crime's occurred. And you have the issue, just as you can deter criminals with higher arrest rates or higher conviction rates or longer prison sentences, the fact that a would-be victim might be able to go and defend themselves makes it riskier for criminals to go and do the attack.
All right, fine. Forgive me, but they always argue, look at Europe. Why isn't that a better model? Because there are allegedly so many fewer gun murders. So I'd like you to answer that when we come back. And we'll be back in a moment. This is the Dennis Prager Show, talking about the guns and related issues. Even will you see your child again? Every aspect of what happened yesterday in Florida.
This is the Dennis Prager Show on AM 560, The Answer.
Hello. Can I trust you? I'm Dennis Prager, and I'm speaking to the gun expert, John Lott. So what is your answer, John, to those who say, well, look, maybe we can't do it, but at least let's be honest, Europe has a better system. With widespread bans on guns, they have a lot less gun violence. What is your response?
Right. Well, I mean, Europe's not homogeneous. I mean, you have places like Switzerland that probably have gun ownership rates higher than what we have here in the United States, as best we can tell. And, they also have one of the lowest murder rates in Europe. There's a problem with making what we call purely cross-sectional comparisons. For example, people will say, look, Britain has a low homicide rate compared to the United States. They have a very low gun ownership rate compared to the United States. So it must be the fact that they have the low gun ownership rate that causes low homicide rate. In fact, they had an even lower homicide rate relative to the United States before they had their gun control laws. And it went up relative to the United States after they had their ban. And so, there are lots of reasons why places have different crime rates. You look at other types of crime, violent crime generally, Britain is about twice the rate that we have here in the United States. Much of Europe is much higher than what we have here in the United States. We have a murder problem, but the murder problem is basically concentrated in small areas within the country. Over half the murder in the United States takes place in about 2% of the counties. And if you ever look at a murder map of those areas, you're going to find murders, whether it's in Los Angeles County or Chicago or Houston or D.C., places like that, are fairly concentrated. In D.C., the whole western part of the city has, like, no murders in it. The southern part that's around the Capitol has essentially no murders that occur there. The eastern part, there's pockets that have a large number of murders in them. And those, basically, in these different areas are drug gang related. We have a drug gang problem. If I could click my fingers right now and cause all illegal drugs to disappear from the United States and all guns, how long do you think it would be before the illegal drugs start coming back into the country?
Righto. John Lott, thank you so much. I'm Dennis Prager. We return.
This is the Dennis Prager Show on AM 560. The Answer.
Do you hear after every new year, you make the same resolutions for